Check. Oh, good morning. Let's turn our Bible to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us here. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to us your truth and speak to us this morning. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, in this passage that we read today, Simon Peter, he gets this great revelation from the Father, right? Jesus gets the disciples together and he asks them, "Hey, who do the people say that I am?" And, you know, they give the answer. Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah, some other prophets. But he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter gets up and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So, and Jesus is like, "Wow, blessed are you, Simon Peter. You got it, but it's not your flesh and your blood that reveal this to you. Basically, it's not you that figure this thing out. Father God has revealed this to you." So Simon Peter gets this fantastic revelation from the Father that shows him that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the chosen one, the anointed one. And then he bestows this great blessing and responsibility, right, upon Peter. He says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This blessing, this responsibility, I think there are a few different opinions and explanations and interpretations of what that really means. So I don't want to go into that this morning. But you can see, you can kind of tell that it's this great responsibility. Some people believe Peter was the head of the church because, you know, God, just Jesus bestowed this kind of responsibility upon Peter to be the keeper of the key, right? The key to the kingdom of heaven. So, whatever this might specifically mean, you know that Jesus gave him this great blessing responsibility. And then he warns them, "Hey, don't tell anyone that I am the Christ." And from that time on, says verse 21, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. And he will suffer many things and be killed eventually and raised up on the third day. And this is where it gets really interesting. Because then Peter, who just had this great revelation from the Father, and he was given this fantastic responsibility, this blessing to be the leader of the church, He takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him and says, Jesus, God forbid it, Lord, that this will happen to you. And when I was reading it, I thought it was quite funny because Jesus, you know, who is Simon Peter talking to? He's talking to Jesus, right? And Jesus, we know, Jesus is God, but Simon Peter is there. So Jesus, God himself is saying, hey, I am going to go through this suffering and I'm going to be killed and I'll be raised up on the third day. But Simon Peter says, God forbid it. You know, he's talking to God himself who's saying that he's going to suffer. But Peter is saying, no, God forbid that will happen to you. So Peter, I mean, he had this great revelation from the Father that Jesus was the Son of God, you know, that he was the Messiah. But he still hasn't gotten, you know, in his flesh, in his mind, in his blood, he still doesn't get it, right? And he says, God forbid it. And sometimes in our own lives, I think that's what we do, you know. And then Jesus says, he turns to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. And sometimes we often think that, you know, because in the church, maybe in this generation, I think probably in every generation, this idea, you know, that our life, we're meant to just be very happy, we're meant to, you know, God wants us to live just a happy, easy life. And sometimes when people, when we see other people going through difficult times or sacrificing, you know, what they desire and what they want for the Lord, we sometimes think, no, that's not what God wants you to do. You know, that's against God's will for you to go through a difficult time or go through a sacrifice. And we say things like, God forbid it, you know. That's not God's will for your life to be suffering and to be going through a difficult time. Because, you know, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be joyful. But we miss it, just like Peter. And it could be the Lord guiding that person or your friend, your brother, sister in Christ to sacrifice something important to them for the Lord, for the benefit of others. But we can come and say, God forbid it. You know, it's not the Lord's will for you to do that. And I think we're greatly mistaken, like Peter. Because, you know, sacrifice is what leads to life in so many examples. You know, like all the missionaries that came to Korea, that came to China, all of them, you know, martyrs, died for Jesus Christ. But through the blood of the martyrs, now the Korean church, you know, gets built up. And through the sacrifice of these missionaries and the families, church is built up, right? And we look at Mrs. Song, you know, our pastor's mom. And you know, when Golia was here, Pastor Golia was here, is preaching, you know, we could see that it was a sacrifice of Mr. and Mrs. Song. And we see it wasn't easy for them to go to Uzbekistan and spend, you know, years and years there and not see the grandchildren and not see the family members. But through that sacrifice, you can see the fruit of Pastor Golia and the church in Tashkent. So it's the sacrifice that leads to life and blessing in so many people, but we can so easily miss it when we set our minds on man's interest, what we're interested in, and not on God's interest. But what I want to end with today, though, is so we see Peter, how weak this guy is. You know, he's so mistaken and so fleshly and so setting his mind on man's interest and going directly against Jesus' will. Jesus is God. God himself says, I'm going to go and suffer on the cross, you know, and die on the cross and be raised up. And Peter is thick enough, he's dull enough to say, God forbid it, Lord, that this may happen to you, even though he's talking to God himself. But yet, we see that just before this event happened, he had received this great revelation. You know, he receives a great revelation from the Father, and he also receives this great responsibility and blessing from the Father. So, Jesus and the Father, he is merciful to imperfect people. You know, because we're all like Peter, right? We're all imperfect people. Peter was an imperfect person. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You could not have come up with this on your own. Father God revealed this to you. So we're all imperfect people, for God is merciful to imperfect people. You know, Father God reveals it to this person who, just after this thing happens, would come against Jesus, what God is doing, and say, God forbid it, and sets his mind on man's interest. But God is merciful to someone like that and reveals this great revelation to an imperfect person. And if you would turn to, we don't have to turn there, but if you skip the rest of chapter 16 and go to chapter 17, verse 1, it says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And on that mountain, Jesus would get transfigured, right? And Peter, James, and John gets to see Jesus transformed and in his glory with Elijah, Moses. And that's just 6 days after Jesus calls Peter Satan, you know? 6 days after Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, and rebukes him hardcore, Jesus then takes Peter up to the mountain to see him get transfigured. So again, God is merciful to imperfect people. You know, we'll never measure up to his perfect holiness, but he's merciful to us. And he reveals to us, even though we're weak and we are not perfect, and he gives us responsibilities, he blesses us. So, let's just end on that. So, two things to meditate upon. You know, are we setting our interest, are setting our mind on man's interest, and are we totally missing it, like Peter, by saying, God forbid it, to things that the Lord may be doing or asking us to do? And also, the second thing that we want to meditate upon is, you know, God is merciful. Father God is merciful to people that are imperfect, and he brings his revelation and he brings his blessing upon people, even though we're not perfect. Let's just close our eyes. God would come, purify our hearts, and set us apart for him, that we can be used by him. Let's thank him for his mercy upon us and his grace that allows us to come into his presence even though we are imperfect. Cleanse me from within. Cleanse me from within. Let's pray together for our missionaries that we're supporting as a church. Let's lift up in China, the Chong family, Jane and John Chong, and the family and the people that they're discipling and teaching. You can also lift up my parents who are in Qingdao, just ministering there. So just pray for them, just anointing upon their ministry. Let's lift up Mr. Song and Pastor Golia, who's there at Tashkent Bethel Church. Let's pray for the church and the ministry there. Let's also lift up Pastor Oh in Cambodia. Let's pray for his ministry as well, that God gives him the strength, the wisdom, and just favor with the people there. We can lift up just our friend Rachel Warlick, who's in Thailand, ministering with the YWAM ministry there. Let's pray for our Hong Kong missionaries. Let's pray for Jimmy Stewart with the Father Heart Ministry, and Grace, who's working with him. Pray for the YWAM people. Pray for Godwin and Rebecca, doing a children's club, and just the Nepalese community out in Yuen Long. Pray for him. Pray for Fabi and Soyoung, and all the Y members leading different schools. Let's pray for God's favor and just blessing, anointing upon them. And Zhengsheng College, all men. I know they're trying to move, right? So let's pray for that. Pray for God's favor upon that as well. So these are the people that are sacrificing, right, for the blessing of others. So just pray that God would really bless them and help them as they give of themselves to serve the Lord. Dear God, we thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Father, that you have mercy upon us, even though we are not perfect, even though, you know, we think the wrong thoughts, God, and we set our minds on the wrong things so many times. I thank you that you have mercy upon us, and you still bring your revelation to us, God, and you lead us, and you bless us, God. So I thank you for that. And I pray, you know, that as you know, men and women of God, that we will be able to set our mind on your interest and not on man's interest. God, give us just your revelation to lead us in the right path. Today, you know, we just give you this day. We pray that you will be glorified today. We want to commit this day to you. We want to submit our mind, will, our emotions to you, Father. We also lift up our missionary friends, God, that we support, that we know, that we love, God. We just pray for your blessing over them, your encouragement to come, your strength to come, your protection, and your intimacy, God, and just the leading of the Holy Spirit to be upon them. Thank you. So we thank you for this day, God. We're excited to go and live this day for you. Help us to you know, bless your heart and bless the people around us today. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.